Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
I hear Drake May is absolutely wonderful so far also. Again, it's early. These might not be surprises, but when you get year two leaps, it means they spent the offseason working. And they spent, this is the Pop Douglas here. I'm telling you, the juice out of Patriots camp right now about Drake May is very real. And they'll bring it down because it's back to that old school style. It's Vrabel, it's McDaniels, it's a lot of those guys. And they're not going to pump up their quarterback. But Drake May came ready to play. Drake May came ready to work. And I would just say, don't be shocked if we see a year two giant leap from Drake May.
That's Pete Schrager, who said you just dismiss interceptions. So obviously it'll be a great year two. Anybody who just dismisses interceptions for quarterbacks, especially those who tend to throw a bunch of interceptions as a rookie, it's easy to make them sound good. Pete Schrager, I'd also ask you, where's the juice coming from? That was an interesting comment. Because I assume like he's just talking about the juice of reporters, people saying Drake May looks good.
Yeah.
Reporters writing that he only missed two passes in a practice, blah, blah, blah.
The people who are tweeting the positives out of training camp.
Yeah, which is fine.
Sure.
I mean, the stats need to be taken with a grain of salt because there's always that, well, he was going to be sacked on that play or, you know, the Pop Douglas play that I loved from the other day.
Yeah.
Loved.
Sure.
Not a sustainable part of the Patriots offense.
Of course not.
If you decide you're going to win games by Drake May rolling right back foot, throwing 50 yards down air to Pop Douglas, then this is like a three-win football team again.
Yeah, he was top five in the league in terms of like number of times that he scrambled last year, and they had one of the worst offenses in football.
They're going to be good
if
they can, I don't know, run a screen pass to Travion Henderson and he picks up 14 yards. And then they can come back with a slant to Stephon Diggs. And today it doesn't go through his hands, but he catches it. Or Kyle Williams runs one of those little 8-yard turnarounds and he catches it.
Right.
That's where they're going to be good.
And then the quarterback delivers the ball to his team instead of the other team.
Correct.
Right. And because the offensive line gave him time to properly go through his progression to make the throw.
What kind of juice you squeeze in Pete Schrager on the offensive line? What have you heard about Morgan Moses? Because I don't know what you've heard. I can only tell you what I've seen. And I've seen an old, slow guy who's getting beat like a rented mule by people named Harold Landry and Le'Veon Chase on the quarterback.
Yeah, juice goes pretty easily through a sieve, right?
Because
that's kind of what I've heard you're watching so far.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's concerning.
So,
and today,
so that continues to meet the eye test.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Today at right tackle, Morgan Moses and Demontre Jacobs. You can say who, or you can say, no, I know who that is and I don't like him. There's no liking that guy. You either don't know who he is or you don't think he's very good. Those are the two options.
Yeah.
The offensive line does not look good. Will Campbell is a work in progress. I've seen good and bad from him. You'll see some clips out there one-on-one with Keon White doing this, doing that. I've seen some blown assignments where it seemed like he didn't know, or maybe it was the quarterback that screwed up the protection, whatever.
Yeah.
Guys kind of coming untouched. Different things. I still have strong hopes that Will Campbell can be good. I'm real close to saying Morgan Moses is just old and not very good anymore.
You know, it kind of seems like they're starting to do that as well. You look at the way that the first and second team rotations are playing out these first few weeks, and I know we're 5 days into this, so do with it what you will.
One day of pads, too.
Right, exactly. But Jared Wilson has now taken reps at all three interior spots, so that's a guy who's already working his way into it. And I saw that Marcus Bryant, this kid that they took in the seventh round,
I just
is also
looked up his name because in my head I said, who was the 52 guy that was at left tackle?
Yeah.
And Marcus Bryant.
Yeah, I saw that. He's already working his way in more so than guys that have considerably more snaps than him at the NFL level.
You don't want to hear this, Patriots fans, but you need to hope that Vidarian Lowe gets healthy, because Vidarian Lowe is going to play for this football team. And I know you hate him, and I know he stunk, and he was this, and he was penalties, and he was that, and he was getting beat and all those things.
Yeah.
This offensive line is a major, major Oh, Jared Wilson? Everybody's in love with Jared Wilson, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The only problem with Jared Wilson is sometimes, or pretty much every practice when he's at center, the ball ends up on the ground. It doesn't end up where the quarterback needs it, which would be in the quarterback's hands.
Okay, so maybe him taking snaps at all three spots in the interior isn't because they think he's versatile. They just think he may not be a center.
There could be some truth to that.
So you have a left tackle who might not be a left tackle and could be a left guard, and a center who may not be a center and could be a guard.
And a right tackle who maybe should be looking into coaching and becoming an offensive line coach, because he can mentor Will Campbell more than he can block Harold Landry and Le'Veon Chase on. This offensive line is somehow as much a concern to me, or more so than it's been in recent years. It really is. Like,
wow.
I don't be, and I think some of it is because of the investment in the hope. You use the fourth pick in the draft. You got to hit one of these someday. And if we remember, we had all these hopes along the way. Ronnie Stanley, they offered him a contract. Or all these other various high-priced offensive linemen they offered contracts to. Come to find out, they don't get any of them. Which I don't know if then that forced them into taking Will Campbell. You know, if they draft Ronnie Stanley, like, well, let's do a little revisionist. I mean, if they sign Ronnie Stanley, they're not taking Will Campbell at four overall.
I certainly don't think so.
They're going in a different direction. And whether that's a trade, whether that's a player, I don't know, but they made a lot of...
Take Ashton Jeanty there?
Maybe, whatever, Ashton Jeanty. But then you wouldn't have Travion Henderson, who's going to be the best running back in the world, I've heard.
Fair enough.
But this offensive line was the target to be fixed, both financially and draft-wise, and I don't feel great about it. And they're sitting on $60 million in cap space, and I got to use the same damn argument that I used against Craig Breslow.
Yep.
Craig Breslow, I don't want to hear Joe Ryan didn't get traded. I want to hear Joe Ryan was traded to the Boston Red Sox because the Boston Red Sox overpaid. They had to throw in a pitcher. They had to throw in a whatever to get Joe Ryan. And now Joe Ryan is your number two starter behind Garrett Crochet, and you are a legit World Series contender.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to hold them to that standard, I can't say, well, Ronnie Stanley didn't leave. So make him leave. Whatever you offered, add 25% to it. You're sitting on $60 million of cap space. You have a hopeful offseason. The MVP is the coach. There's a vibe. There's a culture. There's a young quarterback that everybody thinks is the next great superstar. Guess what? It all goes down the crapper. Time now. I got to find my read here. What did I do with it? For circling the drains leaders.
Let me also say, while you find that it's not even like you just weren't spending money. You also, in the same offseason, handed out the biggest contract in football to Milton Williams.
Yeah,
so,
but you still have money.
I know.
So you were in the spending mode.
This is to your point. You don't even have the excuse that you were pinching pennies like has been used in past years.
Time now for our league leaders and who's circling the drain, presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. If the Patriots gave a poop
nailed it
about Drake May, then there would be better offensive linemen in front of him. That's the part I'm starting to get to.
Yes.
I am concerned as a Drake May fan, as a guy that wanted Drake May, that talked about Drake May as the guy from day one. I'm worried that he is going to be stunted. His growth will be nonlinear or development, whatever you...
I don't know why you keep looking at me. I didn't say that.
Yeah, but it's your people, your quantitative analysis
people.
Yeah, but
that's just talk. I actually give you substance.
We all know that in the NFL, history shows that if you don't go to the playoffs in the first 2 years, you're really not a franchise quarterback. You're not going to be one of the great quarterbacks in the league. He didn't go last year. Drake May needs to go to the playoffs. I don't think it's Drake May that's going to keep them from going to the playoffs. This offensive line is concerning to me. This offensive line could have the season circling the drain. And if they want to be among the league leaders, I don't know how they're going to do it. A lot of quick throws, screens, run plays. You got to take the line out of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's really bizarre because they tried to build their offensive line in two different ways. Like we talked about how, you know, predominantly in free agency that they built on defense. They also added multiple different pieces of varying levels of skill. And then they spent three of their draft picks on offensive linemen, and none of them
got a left tackle whose arms are too short, might not be able to block. You got a center who can't snap, and you got a guy taking reps at left tackle as a young player that you don't want. And then the text line tells us, and I'm going to take the word for it. I love the text
line. No, I saw the same report, though.
Okay.
Yep.
The 860, all reports are Josh Simmons, who you heard about first here on WEEI Afternoons when Mike Giardi randomly said he was like his favorite player in the draft.
That was like the bell of the ball for him.
It was very weird.
For sure.
Looks great in KC camp. Campbell pick looks worse if he's a bust. Yeah, if Josh Simmons is a star and Campbell is sort of a bust here, that is going to look even worse because you could have gone a different direction, done it differently, but you could have spent the money. That's what I'll go back to, and I'm going to be consistent. Red Sox, you need to spend your assets to go get Joe Ryan or Mason Miller or some impact guy. Patriots, were you a little too tight with the purse strings? And I don't know if that's a Kraft concern. I don't know if that's an Elliott Wolf concern. I don't know if that's a Mike Vrabel concern or if I blame the collaborative, the word that got very popular at the end of the Bill Belichick era here in New England. But your offensive line does not look markedly better to me.
No.
And if it's not, that could derail any hope this team has this. Forget about our discussion about Christian Gonzalez. It's not great that he's dinged up early.
Right.
But if the line sucks, even Christian Gonzalez playing at an elite level won't matter.
Right.
If your quarterback is under duress, if you can't run the ball because you can't block, and you can't throw the ball because you can't block, guess what you're going to do? Circle the drains and lose a lot of football games.
And have your quarterback on his ass a lot. And it is really that simple, because every offensive headline that we've talked about and spent segments upon segments talking about, oh, Stephon Diggs, is he going to have his head screwed on straight and be able to bounce? Doesn't matter if he can't get the ball because his quarterback doesn't have time. Nope. Is Drake May going to take that, what did he say, huge second-year step that Peter Schrager, him and his objectivity are saying? Doesn't matter, and you won't be able to see it because he won't have time to throw. Trevion Henderson, is he your new running back one? Is he going to be an option in the pass game? Certainly probably won't matter, because he won't have any time before he gets his lunch handed to him. So every single element that goes with the Patriots being, again, not a league leader, somewhere between a league leader and circling the drain as an offense, right? You need them to take a step forward, but with the way their defense is built, I don't need you to be dominant on the offensive end. All of that stops short if you can't get any level of protection around Drake.
I will say, we all think they're going to be a good screen team. I saw a nice tight end screen today to Hunter Henry in the red zone. It was well blocked, well timed. He picked up like 8-9 yards, might have busted across the goal line for a touchdown. They should be a good screen team because, A, Josh likes to do it.
Yep.
And, B, you're selling the pass rush on getting after the quarterback. They're going to be getting after the quarterback so much that when you let them go by to run a screen, they're probably going to believe it, like that they beat you that easily. So they should be a good screen team. Okay, that's the negativity. I still have concerns about the offensive line. What was also one of my bigger concerns from last week about the defense that I brought back from camp? A certain thing that no one seemed to be talking about that I fixated on more than anybody else.
It wasn't the depth, was it?
It wasn't the depth.
Okay,
the depth is also a
concern.
Where
were you on that?
It's the coaching. Terrell Williams. He was out there.
Yep.
And he was out there in body only, not in contributions, whatever you want to call it. He was just standing in the middle of the field doing nothing. Terrell Williams, like a player would, that I talked about being limited in one practice, took a much larger role today. Terrell Williams was on the field.
Yep.
Terrell Williams called the entire defense together and was in the center of it before he sent him out for 11-on-11 work. And then he had the walkie-talkie, and he was actually calling plays to, I assume, Robert Spillane, the middle linebacker. But he was an active participant, looking like a defensive coordinator.
Good.
Which is good and bad. I've also heard that he has to get carted to the practice field. He has to ride a golf cart. He's, can't walk that far at this point. Different things, whatever. I saw a step forward that leads me to believe, okay, so maybe he will be able to run the defense, because if he doesn't run the defense, I think that's a concern. Even him being a first-time defensive coordinator, he's Vrabel's guy. There's a consistency there. Some of the other guys are young. It's not like offense where you have all these former coordinators, Terrell Brown and Todd Downing and all these guys that if Josh McDaniels missed a game, you got guys that have been there and done
Thomas
that.
Thomas Brown. Yeah.
Defensively, you don't have that. So I think you need Terrell Brown to be out there. No, Terrell Williams. Stop it. Terrell Williams to be out there and doing his job.
So your expectation is not there's less collaboration between Vrabel. Like, this should be Terrell Williams' defense if things go well for the Patriots.
Yeah, because I think he and Vrabel have been together enough. He's always been Vrabel's defensive line coach. They preach. And we'll hear in about 15 minutes, we'll hear from my guy, Jack Gibbons, linebacker for the Patriots, new to New England, but not new to Vrabel, was with him in Tennessee.
Dude.
Very nice guy.
Yeah.
This is interesting. I get the vibe a little bit from those guys. It's almost like a Bregman vibe from Spillane and Jack Gibbons. Like, they're these, not that they've been around and won as much or all that, but they are culture setters, leaders.
They're pros.
Yes, professionals.
And that is, unfortunately, because of what took place last year, that's the bar.
Yeah, it's notable.
Even if you don't have all the skill in the world and you're not quote unquote elite, which we've been going back and forth on with a lot of members of this roster, you're at least a pro. You're a workman. You'll set a good tone. You'll be part of the culture and all these other buzzwords that are being thrown our way. So if that's the, if that becomes the new floor for what it means to be a member of the Patriots, then that is leaps and bounds ahead of what you had.
Yeah. Jelani Tavai, the end of last year and the way things played out there, a lot of things went sideways. Whatever the intentions were, it didn't play out the way they wanted it. Jalen Polk. I know a lot of people think he's gone, that he is not, you know, second-round pick, going to be cut in his second year, hasn't been on the practice field. He was today in pads, caught a touchdown from Drake May, back left corner of the end zone, a little corner route back there. So at least showing up, at least, you know, making some plays or play. I might not need the S, but may play.
Yeah, which is similar from last year because normally it was one play at a time.
Yeah,
one play here, one play there.
And I'm not saying suddenly like, oh, he just entered the chat or the conversation. I still think he's an odd man out.
I think,
for example, Booty. I started talking to you about Booty. What was Booty doing? He was whooping Christian Gonzalez.
He was.
Jalen Polk's just kind of out there catching the ball. There's a difference between those two things. I'm pretty much ready to say it. Like, if you tell me it's down to Jalen Polk and Kayshon Booty, I don't even have to think twice. It's Kayshon Booty.
Absolutely. If you're going based on current relationship with your quarterback, which I think is going to be very important, especially if he doesn't have time to grow these relationships because he's under duress all the time. Absolutely. I mean, I'm happy to hear that he has entered at least the consciousness of the Patriots.
He's out there.
He is. But is Matt Collins a lock to make this team?
Yeah.
I was kind of having that thought just about the end of the Patriots wide receiver depth.
Glad you brought that up.
Okay.
Because I've been seeing other people out there, and this is no pot shots. I'm going to use Taylor Kyles was one of them. CLNS does a great job.
Yeah.
Impassioned reporter for the Patriots. Very detailed.
Pick 13 wins this year.
He also picked 8 receivers. He didn't include, he did a receiver breakdown on his Twitter.
Yeah.
But didn't include Mac Hollins. He said Mac Hollins will also make the roster, almost like he's considering him a special teamer.
Oh.
And not using sort of a quote unquote wide receiver spot. But he had, I want to say, either had 6 or 7 wide receivers and Hollins wasn't in the mix.
Oh.
And I think Hollins is a lock.
Okay.
So whether he's your 7th or your 8th, whatever you want to call him, Mac Hollins, based on the money he's making, the relationship with Josh McDaniels and history with Josh McDaniels, he's a lock to make this team.
Okay, that's kind of where I was leaning more, just with the familiarity of the McDaniels offense versus a bunch of guys who are learning it at the first time.
Right, and culture and all that stuff.
But you'll get the reaction of, okay, now I see Polk and maybe Baker, I don't know, getting in the mix in any kind of conversation. So you'll see
Polk's out, Baker's out, and Efton frickin' Chisholm still does nothing for me. I've now watched, 4 practices over the last week plus, a padded practice. Efton Chisholm looks to me very much suited for the practice squad. Absolutely want him on my practice squad.
Yeah.
Whatever that number is now, 16 guys on the practice squad. Do I want him on the practice field? Sure. Can he learn the slot position? Sure. Might he be an option in a year or two? Maybe. Don't know, because I haven't been as impressed with his overall ability as everybody else has been. But all these people that are rushing to put Efton Chisholm on. So let's just clarify this if we're doing roster breakdowns.
Okay.
I'm kind of rolling, huh? I told you I was going to have energy coming off a padded practice.
Yeah.
You got to deal with it. You got to rein it in as needed. You got to throw a pen at me, whatever.
It hasn't been obtrusive yet.
So when you're doing roster breakdowns and picking players, do the Patriots have one of the worst wide receiver rooms in the NFL?
Yeah, I think they were ranked 31st out of 32nd.
Okay.
Yes.
So they have one of the absolute worst in the NFL.
No question.
And Efton Chisholm, if he even makes the team, is your 6th receiver, we'll say.
Yeah.
So what is, say you cut him to put him on your practice squad, which of those other teams is lining up to take the cast off from the worst wide receiver room in the NFL? Because if they would do that, you know what I might do? Take that trade, because the guy they have to cut to pick him up is probably better than your wide receiver, so you'd want that swap out. Efton Chisholm should be on the practice squad.
Yeah.
He's destined to be on the practice squad. All these people that are like forcing him into the roster, it's weird to me. I don't understand
it. Well, people are buying
it.
You know this. People are buying into the hype of the fact that he just physically resembles guys who would play that position in the past.
The short white wide receiver in the slot.
He is. Like, let's call it what it is. And that is a position that has yielded a lot of success in Josh McDaniels' offense for the Patriots.
Troy Brown also played there.
In years past. Yes, he did. You said the characteristics out loud.
Yes.
And that's what people are looking at without actually, you know, seeing him play football with pads on, which, you know, God forbid we do that 2 times a day. So, Yeah, that's what it is. That's all it is. But, I mean, the difference between Chisholm and Baker and Polk and these guys at the bottom of the depth chart is negligible. At most, you hope a guy can be a special teamer or can be situational or can be just more reliable for Drake to get the ball out quickly. But that's it. You're not talking about, oh, we're cutting a potential 1,000-yard guy. No, it's how do you fit in certain situations to round out our wide receiver room? And the difference to me with all those guys just isn't that big. Is not that big.
Felt like a shot at me. The kicker situation. Yes, Stiz, go ahead.
Well, just quickly, I wanted to let you know kind of the sentiment in the Twitch chat is, quote, one day of padded practice and Hart's ready to name starters.
Well, I think Mike Vrabel could probably name about three quarters of his starters right now if you wanted him to. And the snarky people in the Twitch chat could, too. We all know who's going to start. If Christian Barmore's healthy, he's not. He's not practicing with the full team defense. He's on the side field. Add that note in there to your $190 million worth of defensive tackles that aren't top 10 in the league. But yeah, like, could I name most starters? Sure, I could name most starters. And should we not talk about
it?
And I can
do it
chat?
In record time.
Who was the name in the Twitch chat? Give me the name. What's the name out there? I want names.
Oh, my guy,
with this.
Monty Mac.
Oh, he hates me.
Yeah,
Monty Mac hates me.
Well,
he hates
Monty
everything.
Have a strained relationship.
No, he kind of hates everything. And then when I say he hates me, he'll respond, no, I don't mind you, Hart, or I like you, Hart, something like that.
So do you want to update your win-loss, or do you want to do that later?
We'll do that a little bit later because I have lots of notes from practice. We got to get to the kicking situation, which I thought took an interesting turn today. I'm not sure it's a big deal or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think when I tell you the details of what transpired with the kickers today, I think you'll find it interesting. I will update my win-loss total. Dan Ball will update his win-loss total as well. But up next, we're going to talk to new Patriots linebacker Jack Gibbons.
Yeah.
Dr. Gibby is in the house. I had the chance to speak with him one-on-one. Surprise, if you watch on Twitch and on video, he is significantly taller than I am. But a nice fellow, nice chat with Jack Gibbons up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox completed the series victory over the Dodgers with a 4-3 win yesterday afternoon at Fenway Park. Brendan Bernardino with the win in relief, and Jordan Hicks recorded the final 5 outs to pick up the save. Boston is now 4-5 since the All-Star break. They begin their final series before the trade deadline tonight in Minnesota against the Twins. First pitch is at 7:40. Richard Fitz will start against Simeon Woods Richardson. Here is your lineup for the Sox tonight. Roman Anthony leads off in left, and it's Alex Bregman at third. Jaron Duran is in center hitting third with Trevor Story at short. Masataka Yoshida is your DH with Carlos Narvaez your catcher. Willie Abreu in right. Seidon Rafaela once again at second. And Abraham Toro is at first, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan is tonight at 6:40. And Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the game. The MLB trade deadline is on Thursday at 6 p.m. The Braves acquired veteran starting pitcher Eric Fetty from the Cardinals for a player to be named later or cash. Right-hander Seth Lugo and the Royals are finalizing a 2-year, $46 million contract extension, taking one of the best potential trade candidates off the market. And the Twins have dealt a pitcher. The Tigers have acquired right-handed pitcher Chris Paddock from the Twins in exchange for a minor leaguer. And from around the league, Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase has been placed on non-disciplinary paid leave as part of MLB's sports betting investigation. Clase is the second Guardians pitcher on leave tied to the investigation, joining right-hander Luis Ortiz. Clase's leave is through August 31st, MLB said in a statement. And finally, the Patriots completed their fifth day of training camp earlier today. Drake May went 5-6 with a touchdown. The Pats return to the practice field tomorrow at 10:15 a.m. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man Is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons. We don't call it 4 o'clock football anymore, but we're well in the midst of an hour of a little football chatter here from Foxborough.
And it does happen to be 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that fits.
Fits perfectly.
Yeah.
And as Channel 7 will tell you, football and 4 have the same first letter, which is alliteration, which is huge in media. It gets eyeballs, gets attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're in the midst of the 4
like
o'clock.
Like the Fitzy 5.
The Fitzy 5. Or if we wanted to change it today for a fill-in, we could do Stiz's 6. That sounds weird if you say
maybe
that.
Workshop that one.
So I was down at Gillette today, and as we've been doing, you know, Fitzy and I had one interview. Ted had an interview. We're trying to talk to some players, get them to the side, one-on-ones. Today was another first-year Patriot, a linebacker, not Robert Spillane. We've been there and done that with Ted during minicamp.
Yep.
This is why am I Dr. Biden? What is his name?
Jack Gibbons.
Jack Gibbons.
Dr. Gibby is the nickname that you keep trying to say, and I could not stress enough that you should just say his name.
Well, I keep thinking, this is like an insight into my world. Dr. Gibby, in my mind, goes to Dr. Biddy, which I think of Dr. Biden, which was the vice president for the first lady for Joe Biden. Like, all this is going through my head, and you wonder why I stumble over a name, because all those things were in my head.
Yeah, that was
no wonder you crack
mess.
A Miller as soon as you walk through the door, if that's what your brain is like.
Maybe I should crack less Millers and clean that up a little
that
bit.
That was almost as bad as my playing third tonight or whatever my
No, that's
was
what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. See? So you should have an appreciation for what I have to sift through in this big old head of mine to land the plane sometimes. Anyway, Jack Gibbons, linebacker, who started his career in Tennessee.
Yep.
And worked his way up, became a Vrabel favorite, and clearly he likes him because he gets a job in New England, and he brings him with him to New England, and looks like he has a chance to be a part of this new-look veteran linebacker core they're building on defense. So Dr. Gibby, Jack Gibbons, linebacker for the Patriots, join me today down in Foxborough.
WEEI Afternoons back here at training camp down in Foxborough. Joining us today is Jack Gibbons, Patriots first-year linebacker. Jack, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when Mike Vrabel comes here, you obviously played for him in Tennessee. Was it just natural, like that's a place I'd be interested in going to stay with him, play with him again?
Yeah, definitely. It was exciting to get back with Vrabes and all this staff. Most of the defensive staff was with us in Tennessee, some of the offensive coaches. So it's just very familiar, and it felt like a good fit because I know that what they're looking for is kind of what I try to pride myself on. And as far as like just playing hard, playing with great technique, running to the ball, being a versatile player, like those are things that I like to pride myself on, and that's what they're looking for. So I felt like it was a good fit.
So you were a young player who kind of worked his way up in Tennessee under Vrabel. Does it feel good that you do that there and then he wants to bring you to a place where he's establishing a new defense culture team that he wanted you on that team?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely tried to be a part of the culture that we had down there, be someone that was driving it forward. And it feels good to be able to come and try to do that here. Kind of, there's a lot of great guys here. They had a great culture here before, but we're trying to do things a little bit different. So definitely trying to show guys the ropes of how we're trying to do it under him. And kind of go from there.
What is a Mike Vrabel culture on defense? What's that all about?
I mean, it's all about effort and finish, I would say, is the number one thing. That's our team, first team key. As far as a team, offense, defense, special teams, that's what we're talking about, is playing hard and playing for the guy next to you. And then after that, it's details, technique, fundamentals, and then just being smart, instinctive football players. I feel like those are kind of the three main.
So I was doing a little research on you, as we all do before we do interviews, and Dr. Gibby is your nickname. What's that all about?
Yeah, Vrabes likes guys to be prepared, and so he's not afraid to quiz people in front of the team, ask questions about the install, about their teammates, about anything. And so my rookie year, pretty early on, he's quizzing guys. I answered a few questions right, and he just started calling me Dr. Gibby. I guess thought I was smart, and So trying to keep him thinking that I'm smart and hang on to that nickname as long as I can, I guess.
What do you, obviously smart's hard work, but what do you bring sort of physically to a defense? What's your style of play? How would you describe your style of play to a Patriots fan?
Yeah, I feel like I'm a very instinctive player, versatile player, can do a lot of different things. I play multiple positions, and then just going to be a guy who's always prepared, helping out the guys next to me, but also knowing the ins and outs of the defense so I can play fast and physical, and just going to run to the ball and play as physical as I can.
We keep hearing violence about this defense, that it wants to be violent. The D-linemen want to be violent. Does that fit into your style of play? Do you like that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's what, I mean, it's kind of same thing we were talking about in Tennessee. We want to, speed and violence. That's what we're looking for, and so that's definitely two things that I think if you play defense, you have to try to pride yourself on no matter what.
How does that play in training camp, first day of pads? Was it violent out there? It seemed like it was sort of a controlled atmosphere, you guys' first chance to get in pads.
Yeah, I think a lot of times first day, everybody's kind of amped up, kind of throwing their stuff around a little too much and can't. We're not playing with as much technique. I don't know. We got to go back and watch the film, but definitely want to be violent in everything that we do first day to the last day. I mean, every time we touch the grass, we're trying to do that for sure.
I heard you talking in your press conference about the linebacker room, smart, some veterans. Robert Spillane's here with you as a newcomer. Jelani Tavai is a holdover. What's the dynamic in that room like right now?
Yeah, I was just saying earlier, we got a lot of veteran guys that have played a lot of football, a lot of guys that have started games, played in different systems, different places. And so it's been really cool to see just kind of everybody coming together, buying into this new system, but also being able to bounce ideas off each other, talk about how they did it somewhere else, different techniques, different ways to see the game that guys have, because everybody's got different perspectives right now. So I really love the dynamic we have in our room. It's a lot of smart guys that are buying in, but also can bring a lot to the table as far as different ideas.
So I'm a soft media member, so I've been complaining about like some belly sweat sitting up here watching you guys. How's the weather been so far?
I mean, we've had beautiful days so far. Last week, every day was nice except for the walkthrough day was hot, but that's all right. A little warm out here today, but that's okay. I feel like I kind of like that when we get into the pads. Wanted to make it as hard as possible, make the practice hard so games can be a little easier for sure.
When do the dog days settle in? Obviously, today's first day in pads, so you get a little extra juice. When does it become monotonous or start to be a little grind?
I mean, it can get that way doing the same thing every day, but try to attack every day with enthusiasm and not let that happen. I think that's when you gotta have relationships outside of football. As far as in your room, you gotta get to know each other on a personal level so you can kind of build each other up, make each other laugh a little bit, kind of get yourself through that kind of thing.
How do you guys do that? I mean, we made a big deal about Drake May brings the receivers down to Charlotte, they throw a little bit, and we've seen all these tight end you and all these things popping up. But as a defense, as a group of linebackers, do you guys go out to dinner? How do you kind of build that off-field rapport?
Yeah, definitely like go out to dinner, go to the movies. Some guys play like pickleball and stuff. But even just hanging out in the building, eating meals together in the cafeteria, joking around before meetings in the meeting room, in the locker room, that type of stuff is invaluable for sure. You can build a bond here at the building when we're not out there on the field. So.
Are you a pickleball player?
I play a little bit, but not too much.
Who's the best? Who is?
I haven't played, but I heard Jelani is the best.
Really?
I'm not sure.
Really? Okay, yeah, that's
check that out.
That's Dr. Gibby, Jack Gibbons, new first-year Patriots linebacker, also part-time pickleball player here on WEEI Afternoons. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
At least I got Dr. Gibby right when I was talking to the man in question. Didn't stumble it and bumble it there.
Did you need to call yourself a soft media member while you were setting up that question?
Well, we all know that I'm kind of a hard media member, hard-o heart here, so I was
Thanks for talking about your belly sweat in the middle of our interview.
It happens. I'm telling you, you need to come down there and feel there's two layers of how hot it gets. The first is belly sweat.
Okay.
The second is the backside, when it starts to be crack sweat. When it starts to drip down there, you know it is a hot day. And it's funny because they're all happy with it. It's not that hot. It's not that warm, whatever. Yeah. We'll see as this week goes on, because I think it's going to...
Tomorrow's going to get up there.
Yeah, it's going to get up there, Dr. Gibby.
Lovely.
So they're feeling it.
I can understand why he was... I was poking around on him a little bit when I saw you're going to be catching up with him. I can understand he was described as a fan favorite as soon as he got to Tennessee. Yeah. Like, when he got to camp, undrafted out of Minnesota... automatically was a guy that fans were rooting for, and he's right. I mean, he bounced around the depth chart a little bit, got some games starting on the left side and inside linebacker, but was predominantly a backup. But I mean, from everything we talk about how this team doesn't have a ton of depth right now, that's the kind of makeup of a guy that I want to be depth, a rotational player at a position on my roster.
And we've now heard from Robert Spillane, who different level player. He's had, 300 tackles the last 2 years combined, starts a lot of games. He's your middle linebacker. Although I thought he looked a little slow in coverage today. Ramondre Stevenson smoked him pretty good two or three times.
Oh.
Now, I'm also a big believer there's no such thing as a coverage linebacker. I think it's virtually impossible.
Yeah.
These running backs are more athletic. They run straight at you. They have, you know, what they say, a three-way go. He can go left, he can go right. Like, what are you supposed to do when an athlete like that's running at you? But I thought he got beat a little bit. But Robert Spillane's your sort of higher-end guy. But no, those two guys in particular for a group that we talked about, personality last year, athleticism, I think you've advanced. I really think you have. I think you have a little potential for that group, assuming especially if the D-line is as good as it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Christian Barmore. That brings me to Christian Barmore.
Yeah, what do we got here?
Another day where he's just working on the side field. Like, everything's taking place, team, all this over here. He's off to the side field with one of the assistant coaches just doing pass rush reps and technique things. But they're clearly monitoring him. Now, I'm assuming it's a football monitoring, not a, because you obviously have to, you have to take into account the blood clots and all that.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It doesn't seem like that. It seems like, because he was in full pads today. He was out there, just something, like, you never know, a muscle injury, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But just, again, not ideal for a team that, A, doesn't have a lot of top-line players, and, B, doesn't have a lot of depth.
Right.
So Christian Gonzalez limps off. Christian Barmore is a part-time contributor. I mean, that right there, those should be two of your three to five best players on defense.
Yeah, other than Williams and Carlton Davis, who, again, we're also not talking about yet.
Correct.
So that's out of those four, there's three where you can poke holes in it already. Not to be, you know, negative in the middle of July, but those are
Chicken Little Andy. That's what they called me on the text line. Chicken Little Andy. The sky's falling. I didn't say the sky was falling.
That's too bad, and an unnecessary shot at your height, but I digress.
Also, yes. But also, I will continue to say, I'm going to tell you what I see, good and bad. Like, I see a great throw from Drake May to Pop Douglas. Love it. Great throw. He's showing you what he can do. I also can tell you he was under pressure, and I don't think it's great if all his throws come under pressure, as you said, trying to decide whether I'm scrambling or throwing on the run here.
Right.
Like, at some point, you want to get to consistent pass plays. But, you know, the receivers, Kayshon Booty, great that he's toasting Christian Gonzalez. I actually think that's great for him. The big takeaway from that is, you're toasting an all-pro corner.
Yeah, for sure.
We've said that. The one place where you can say the measuring stick is really good, maybe the interior line.
Yeah.
If you're blocking the defensive tackles, Barmore, when he's out there, Milton Williams, okay, that's a really
good
test.
But skill players in a room that we just talked about is regarded as one of the worst in the league.
Correct. So I'm just going to tell you what I see if you want to call me a homer on some days when it's all positive. For example, Parker Romo, who dropped his first name and now is using his middle name as his first name or whatever the hell's going on. Anyway,
The three names, by the way.
I didn't either.
For
serial killer or like person who assassinates presidents or things like that.
I was going to go actor, but yeah, you go that side instead.
Oh, yeah, you could have done that.
I could have. You chose not to.
Negative. Parker Romo was the only kicker today.
Yep.
He took six field goals, nailed all of them, extending from like 30-plus yards to just over 50-plus yards. And you remember, this comes on the heels of last Thursday, was it, that Borregales was not good.
Right.
Was shanking balls, missing the net. I just thought it was interesting that the only guy out there today was the veteran guy. I'm not saying we're going down any road, but just because he was drafted, we've seen in New England, that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be the next great kicker in New England.
Yeah.
It worked with Steven Gostkowski. It hasn't worked since when they've drafted a kicker. And you got a veteran that it's at least putting his best foot forward to compete for the job.
Like the pun. And it was Curran who said to you guys last week, you know, the old guys are always the best kickers. I mean, there is something to that, especially with how much draft capital has been sent out the door by the team in order to still not have an answer at that position. It's kind of in the same vein as we talked about on the offensive line. Like, okay, so you couldn't lure X, Y, and Z, at least at league average kicker, out to solve one of the many roster issues you have. You couldn't, with your $60 million of remaining cap space, have overspent a little bit to at least secure this position for an offense that may struggle to move up the field a little bit. I don't know. Seems a bit of an oversight.
All right, coming up, we'll have a couple more notes on the afternoon, including a couple fumble situations that are not ideal for a team that is spending a lot of time working on ball security early in practices. Securing the ball on offense, pulling the ball out on defense is a priority for Mike Vrabel's teams, and yet they have some fumble issues. And we'll put it all together this hour to give you our updated record predictions for the season. Did I move it up? Was things good today? Do I move it down? You might want to get ready for that one. That's next year.
I wonder where we're going.
On WEEI Afternoons.
WEEI.
WEEI. New England Sports Original.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Go out to dinner, go to the movies. Some guys play like pickleball and stuff, but even just hanging out in the building, eating meals together. They're in the cafeteria, joking around before meetings in the meeting room, in the locker room. That type of stuff is invaluable for sure. You can build a bond here at the building when we're not out there on the field.
Of course, that is Jack Gibbons, Dr. Gibby, down on the practice fields of Foxborough today.
Nailed it.
With us here on WEEI Afternoons, an exclusive one-on-one with the new Patriots linebacker.
Yes, he was taller than I was, if you're in the Twitch chat. No, I wasn't standing on my tippy toes.
Jeez, people are very superficial.
Yeah,
no, they
said
milk crate. You were standing on a milk crate.
No, he's I'll be honest, he's a tall linebacker. He's at him.
Yeah, 6'3", 242.
You see him in the middle of the field, like he's a tall linebacker, got some coverage ability. He's a big, long body in the middle of the field that we'll see. Maybe it helps him. Maybe it doesn't. So we're going to get to our updated predictions for win totals based on everything we've seen. And I guess we need to kind of roll in the weekend. Saturday was a up and down workout. There were some highs, some lows coming off a walkthrough on Friday. And now they're in pads today as they kind of continue the progression. You had the day off on Sunday. Drake May has looked mostly good. I wasn't there on Saturday, though. It was inconsistent was the word I heard there. Like, some of the wow throws were really nice.
Yeah.
Missed some shorter throws and intermediate throws.
See, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't either, because that's where you're going to make your money. Yeah. You don't live on the wow throws. You have to be. Tom Brady is great because he was boring. He could hit Julian Edelman. He could hit Wes Welker. He could hit James White out of the backfield. You need to master the simple stuff, because if you master the 5 yards, 6 yards, 7 yards, you'll be fine.
Right.
If you master the long ball, people will say you're cool and you'll have highlights and you won't be that good over the totality of your career.
And it doesn't fix the offensive line, but it at least takes a little bit of pressure off of it, because you're getting the ball out quickly. You're making sure you're getting positive plays, less that you're running backs, you know, all these things. I'm not saying anything groundbreaking, but yeah, all those things come together. So I don't love that, because I just don't think he's going to have a lot of time to air the ball out like that.
Correct.
Anyways.
I don't even know if he has a lot of guys that are really suited to get down the field and go get the football.
Also a fair point.
The rapport with Booty last year, there was seemingly a right sideline, drop it in the bucket, Drake made a Booty kind of thing. But Pop Douglas, does he want to make his money catching deep balls down the field? No. He wants to make it, you know, within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, catch and run and stuff like that.
Looked pretty good when he tried over the weekend.
He did, but who was he beating?
Was it Gonzalez again?
No, it was Kyle Duggar.
Oh, well.
Kyle Duggar.
Nothing you can do about that.
right. Falls in line.
What was it, 140 out of 155 he was ranked among safeties? So, we should have given more credence to him as a surprise cut when we did that a couple of weeks
back. Is his ankle still bothering him? Because that's the excuse train I heard last year, was that, oh, a guy's got an ankle injury. He's gotten it out. Okay, just we're a year later. Yeah,
still kind of.
This is the longest sprained ankle I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yep.
So we need to update it. I believe I was back up to 8-9. Late last week on Thursday, 8-9 record. Yes, Diz?
Last we have was from a few days ago. Andy, you are at 8 and Nick at 9.5.
Wait, okay. So you're at how many wins?
8 wins.
Got it. Just making sure.
9 losses.
Okay.
Stiz has a document. He's keeping track of every one of these.
Yeah.
Nick's at 9.5 wins. We'll get a Ted Johnson update tomorrow. But I
9.5. My God,
I gotta go in the negative direction. And my the only question in my head is: am I going a full game or a half game?
That's what I want to know.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go a full game.
Wow, no way.
The tackles aren't making me feel good.
Okay.
The wide receivers, I'm seeing more drops from Diggs. I'm seeing Kyle Williams just kind of flounder in irrelevancy at practice, not really standing out since day one. Couple drops I don't like. The kicking situation is going towards a weird battle where it feels like it could be like the reverse of quarterback a year ago, where we're all thinking, oh, Parker Romo won the job. And they're like, no, we're keeping the guy we drafted.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, he wasn't as good. No, but we're keeping the guy we drafted because we drafted him.
It's not necessarily becoming a battle to be your starter. It's a battle to see who gets cut.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
As they continue to fall down. Okay, I'm going to ask something of you because we've had a lot of holes that we've poked in the Patriots.
Okay.
How many positives have you seen from the Patriots through your observations at camp so far? I want to see how many you can list off.
Individual positives?
Yes.
Hunter Henry's a positive.
Okay.
The screen, he had a catch and run. Hunter Henry just looks like Hunter Henry.
Okay, that's one.
Roll out of bed. The coaching staff, I like the overall coaching vibe.
Okay.
That's Vrabel straight on down through. Ramondre Stevenson looks like to me he's got a bounce in his step. He also looks like he's fixating on ball security. He's going to make sure he holds on to the damn football.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good that maybe fans weren't even expecting to be a good at this point in camp.
Travion Henderson has some bounce in his giddy-up. He can play out wide. He can catch the ball. He did fumble today, and it looked like it cost him some reps afterwards. But no, this is positive.
Okay, yeah.
He has upside. I'm taking to the positives here.
We're up to four.
The front seven, pass rush specific, the edge, that might be my biggest takeaway. That might actually be number one. I did not expect to be impressed by Harold Landry and by Le'Veon Chason.
Yeah.
I keep saying Chason the quarterback.
I'm pretty sure it's
Ke'Lavon. Ke'Lavon. Yeah. What did I say?
Le'Veon.
Drop the K.
Like Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, it's, you know, anything before the apostrophe is optional.
And their defensive coordinator's name is?
Terrell Williams.
Nailed it. Continue.
Thank you. The pass rush, the edge guys have been tremendous. Linebacker is absolutely an upgrade athletically, attitude-wise. You're not writing these down. Weren't you writing these down?
Yeah. I'm up to front seven pass rush. I was listening to your explanation.
Okay, now linebacker. Now I'm on the inside linebackers.
Okay.
Totally different. This is another positive.
Oh my God. I wrote down the one word that you were
more
saying.
More positive. So okay. I got that.
You're up to six.
Wide receiver position could surprise for the positive. Pop Douglas has been really good. Stephon Diggs, we said, has absolute upside. And Kyle Williams could contribute, and Kayshon Booty. There's four guys I like right there, what I've seen so far in totality through a week of training camp practices. How many is that up to?
That is up to seven. The last one I wrote, wide receiver position could surprise, and in parentheses, four guys with an exclamation point.
Okay, let's go positive. Drake May's been good.
Okay.
Even under pressure, and, you know, we're going to have to figure out, and how will it play out in the regular season? I don't know.
Yeah.
When the guys are running full speed into his back and he needs to be carted off, that won't be good.
If nothing else, excuse train, I will board it while saying this. His only experience in the NFL is under immense amount of pressure.
Like that 12-second play or whatever.
Yeah.
You might need more of those, run around for your life, throw. But his ability is there. He has the ability. And I know we always say the tools, it's going to be about how he puts it together.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It's also nice to just acknowledge it. He has the ability.
Right.
Like if we're going to say Jalen Polk doesn't have the ability, right? We say that all the time. I don't see anything in him. He's not fast. He's not quick. He doesn't get open. Well, we also have to acknowledge that Drake May has all the ability.
There you go.
Has the tools.
You're up to eight things.
How many more you need?
That's
I might
a good
be
list.
Running out. That's why I'm asking.
That's just a good. I honestly, just for the sake, because there are so many different things that we were sold on in the offseason that don't really seem to be coming together. But I was curious to see how far you could go in terms of things that you watch, having watched good and bad football teams, that you say, all right, this is a reason why I as a fan can at least be intrigued by what is happening.
And for that reason, I'm subtracting a solid win from the win total. They are now a 7-10 football team in my mind because I'm sorry. Christian Gonzalez limped off with a hamstring injury. That just feels like a bad start, some sort of omen, black cloud.
Yeah.
Christian Barmore is working off to the side by himself. The tackles aren't that good. There's drops at wide receiver. There's just a lot that I need to see cleaned up from a team. And the biggest one, Ted brought it up the other day, sort of a big umbrella. The depth of this team is non-existent.
Yes.
You start with questions, and the questions just get bigger as guys get hurt or banged up or change. So I'm down to that.
Okay.
What's your win total? You want to adjust it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was at eight. and I have not participated to this point. So I'm going to drop it down a half win because I get a contact high from you being so negative. So 7.5 will be my win total that I am adjusting to.
You got those stiz? Are you in there? And does it just say 17-0 or something next to yours?
No, I'm at 7.
North Carolina one.
Oh!
I'm at 7. I've been at 7 since the beginning. I don't see things being much better.
Have I asked you who wins more games, the Patriots or North Carolina?
That is a pretty looking question.
Okay, why don't we let's put a pin in that. We'll revisit. I'll give you some time to think about it, do some research, but that'll be your homework assignment. Who wins more games, UNC or the New England Patriots? Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 5 o'clock. That means it's time for The Drive. We need to get back to this Christian Gonzalez injury and talk about the Red Sox winning games against the Dodgers. How we feel about those apples, huh? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoon.
Afternoons with Hart, Bitsy, and Johnson on WEEI.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.